Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
It was supposed to be an adventure. My friends and I had been planning a night hike for weeks, eager to experience the thrill of trekking through the forest under the cover of darkness. We chose a trail that was known for its scenic views and relatively easy path, perfect for our first night hike. Little did we know, the night would turn into a nightmare we'd never forget. We arrived at the trailhead just as the sun was setting, casting long shadows through the trees. The forest seemed to come alive with the sounds of nocturnal creatures. We strapped on our headlamps, checked our gear, and set off, our excitement palpable. The first part of the hike was uneventful. We laughed, joked, and marveled at the way the forest looked under the light of the moon. As we ventured deeper into the woods, the trail grew narrower and the trees thicker. The light from our headlamps danced off the foliage, creating eerie patterns. We talked less and less, our focus shifting to navigating the dark, uneven path. The night was cool, and the air was filled with the scent of pine and damp earth. About an hour into our hike, we reached a small clearing. We decided to take a break, drink some water, and rest our legs. We sat in a circle, the beam of our headlamps illuminating our faces. That's when we first heard it, a faint rustling in the bushes nearby. We froze, listening intently. The rustling stopped, and we brushed it off as a small animal. Feeling rejuvenated, we continued our hike. The path became more challenging, with roots and rocks jutting out, threatening to trip us up. We moved cautiously, our laughter replaced by nervous chatter. The forest was silent, save for the crunch of our boots on the ground and the occasional hoot of an owl. Then, we heard the rustling again, louder this time. We stopped, shining our lights in the direction of the sound. There was nothing there, just trees and undergrowth. My heart began to pound, but I told myself it was just an animal, nothing to worry about. We pressed on, trying to ignore the growing sense of unease. A few minutes later, I caught a glimpse of movement out of the corner of my eye. I turned quickly, shining my light into the trees. Again, nothing. But I wasn't the only one who saw it. My friend Sam whispered that he saw something too, a shadow darting between the trees. We huddled together, our backs to each other, scanning the darkness. "Maybe we should turn back," Jess suggested, her voice trembling. We all agreed, the excitement of the hike now replaced by a creeping dread. We started back down the trail, moving faster than before. The rustling followed us, growing louder and more persistent. It was as if something was stalking us, keeping pace with our every step. We broke into a run, our breaths coming in ragged gasps. The path was treacherous, and more than once we stumbled, barely catching ourselves. Panic set in, and I could feel the fear radiating from my friends. We just needed to get back to the car, to safety. Suddenly, Sam tripped and fell, his headlamp flying off into the bushes. He let out a cry of pain, clutching his ankle. We stopped, trying to help him up. The rustling was louder now, coming from all around us. I felt a chill run down my spine as I realized we were surrounded. "Get up, Sam. We have to go," I shouted, trying to keep the panic out of my voice. Jess and I helped him to his feet, supporting him as he hobbled along. The forest seemed to close in on us, the darkness oppressive. I could feel eyes watching us, following our every move. We finally reached the clearing where we had taken our break earlier. It felt like a small haven in the sea of darkness. We paused to catch our breath, our eyes darting around, trying to pierce the inky blackness. That's when we saw it, a figure standing at the edge of the clearing, just beyond the reach of our lights. It was tall and slender, its features obscured by the shadows. It didn't move, just stood there, watching us. My blood ran cold, and my mouth went dry. "Who's there?" I called out, my voice wavering. There was no response, only the oppressive silence of the forest. The figure took a step forward, and we bolted. We didn't look back, didn't stop running until we burst out of the forest and onto the trailhead. We piled into the car, slamming the doors and locking them. Sam's ankle was swollen, and he was in pain, but we didn't care. We just needed to get out of there. We didn't speak on the drive home, each lost in our thoughts. The terror of the night had left us terrified, and we vowed never to go on a night hike again. It was an experience we'll never forget. The fear, the panic, the sense of being haunted, it still haunts us. When my friends and I heard about the old, abandoned house at the edge of town, we were immediately intrigued.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Stories of its haunted reputation had circulated for years, but it wasn't until a cool autumn evening that we decided to see for ourselves. The house, they said, had been the scene of unspeakable horrors and was now a hotspot for paranormal activity. We set out just before dusk, the sky painted in hues of orange and pink. The house stood alone on a hill, its silhouette stark against the fading light. As we approached, the air grew colder, and an eerie silence enveloped us. The trees that lined the driveway seemed to lean in, as if they were whispering secrets about the house. The house itself was a crumbling relic of the past. Its once grand facade was now covered in ivy and moss, the windows shattered and the doors hanging off their hinges. We paused at the entrance, a sense of unease settling over us. But curiosity won out, and we stepped inside. The air was thick with the smell of decay and dampness. Dust motes floated in the beams of our flashlights, and the floor creaked under our weight. We walked through the foyer, our footsteps echoing in the empty rooms. The walls were lined with peeling wallpaper, and old furniture lay scattered and broken. We moved through the house, exploring room after room. There was a strange, oppressive atmosphere, as if the house itself was watching us. We found an old, grand staircase leading to the upper floors. As we climbed, the feeling of being watched intensified. Every shadow seemed to move, every sound seemed amplified. At the top of the stairs, we found ourselves in a long hallway lined with closed doors. We decided to split up and explore the rooms individually. I took the room at the end of the hall. The door creaked open, revealing a bedroom frozen in time. An old, iron-framed bed stood in the center, covered in a thick layer of dust. The walls were adorned with faded photographs and paintings. I walked over to the bed, brushing away the dust. The room felt colder than the rest of the house, and I couldn't shake the feeling that I was not alone. I turned to leave when I heard a faint whisper, so quiet I wasn't sure if I had imagined it. I froze, straining to listen. The whisper came again, clearer this time, sending a chill down my spine. I backed out of the room and hurried down the hall, meeting up with my friends. Their faces were pale, their eyes wide. They had heard the whispers too, and one of them swore they saw a shadow move across the wall. We decided it was time to leave, but as we made our way back to the stairs, the house seemed to come alive. Doors slammed shut, and the whispers grew louder, more insistent. We ran down the stairs, our flashlights flickering. The house seemed to groan and shudder around us. As we reached the front door, it slammed shut, trapping us inside. Panic set in, and we scrambled to open it. Finally, the door gave way, and we tumbled outside. The air was colder than before, and the night was eerily quiet. We ran to our cars, not stopping until we were miles away from the house. None of us spoke on the drive back, each lost in our thoughts. That night, we couldn't sleep. Every creak of the house, every rustle of the wind, set our nerves on edge. We couldn't shake the feeling that something had followed us. Over the next few days, strange things began to happen. Lights flickered, objects moved on their own, and we heard whispers in the dead of night. We discovered that the house had once been the home of a family who died under mysterious circumstances. Over the years, subsequent residents reported strange occurrences and paranormal activity. Eventually, the house was abandoned, left to decay. Sometimes, late at night, when my house is quiet and the shadows are long, I hear the whispers again. They remind me of that night, of the feeling of being watched, of the oppressive cold. Camping trips had always been a tradition for me and my friends. This time, we chose a dense forest, far from the city, to enjoy a weekend away from the hustle and bustle. The sun was beginning to set as we arrived, casting long shadows through the trees. We quickly set up our tents, built a fire, and settled in for a night of storytelling and laughter. The forest was beautiful, with towering trees and a thick canopy that blocked out most of the sky. Birds chirped in the distance, and the smell of pine filled the air. As darkness fell, we gathered around the campfire, roasting marshmallows and sharing ghost stories. The flickering flames cast eerie shadows, and every rustle in the underbrush made us jump. As the night wore on, we decided to play a game of hide and seek in the forest. It seemed like a fun idea at the time, a way to relive our childhood. I was chosen to be the seeker, and after giving my friends a few minutes to hide, I ventured into the dark woods, armed with only a flashlight. The beam of my flashlight cut through the darkness, illuminating patches of trees and underbrush. I called out to my friends, trying to sound confident, but my voice echoed strangely in the silence. The deeper I went, the more the forest seemed to close in around me. The trees loomed overhead, their branches intertwining like skeletal fingers. I found the first friend hiding behind a large tree, and we both laughed, relieved to find each other. We continued searching for the others, our laughter echoing in the stillness. But as we ventured deeper into the forest, the atmosphere changed. The air grew colder, and an unsettling silence fell over the woods. It was as if the forest itself was holding its breath. We found another friend hiding in a thicket, and the three of us continued the search together. But something felt off. We started hearing strange noises, soft whispers, and distant footsteps that didn't belong to any of us. The laughter died down, replaced by a growing sense of unease. The forest, which had seemed so inviting, now felt menacing. Suddenly, we heard a blood-curdling scream. It was one of our friends. We ran towards the sound, our hearts pounding. The scream had come from a small clearing, and when we arrived, we found our friend standing in the middle, pale and trembling. He pointed towards the trees, unable to speak. I shone my flashlight in the direction he was pointing and saw it, a figure standing just beyond the reach of the light. It was tall and thin, with long limbs and glowing eyes that reflected the light. The figure moved silently, its eyes never leaving us. We stood frozen in fear, unable to look away. Suddenly, the figure darted towards us. We screamed and ran, our footsteps pounding against the forest floor. We didn't stop until we reached our campsite, gasping for breath. We huddled together, our eyes darting around the darkness, waiting for the figure to reappear. But it didn't. The night was silent once more, the only sound our ragged breathing. We decided to stay together for the rest of the night, too scared to venture into the forest again. We took turns keeping watch, but the figure never returned. The next morning, we packed up our campsite and left as quickly as we could. The forest, which had seemed so beautiful, now felt sinister and unwelcoming. As we drove away, we couldn't shake the feeling that we were being watched. Weeks passed, and we tried to forget about that night. But the memories lingered, haunting our dreams. I did some research and found that the forest had a dark history. There had been reports of strange sightings and disappearances over the years, but no one could explain them. To this day, we don't know what we saw that night. Some of my friends believe it was a ghost, while others think it was some kind of forest spirit. All I know is that it was real, and it was watching us. Whenever I think about that night, I can't help but feel a chill run down my spine. The forest, with its towering trees and thick canopy, now feels like a place of nightmares. And though we've gone on many camping trips since then, we've never returned to that forest. I had been driving for hours when I spotted the flickering neon sign of a motel in the distance. My eyes were heavy, and the thought of a bed, no matter how lumpy or musty, was irresistible. The place looked like it hadn't been renovated since the 70s, with its peeling paint and a half-lit vacancy sign. I pulled into the gravel lot, my tires crunching loudly in the silence of the night. The lobby was dimly lit, with a single bulb casting eerie shadows on the wood-paneled walls. A bell sat on the counter, and I hesitated for a moment before ringing it. The sharp ding echoed, and I heard shuffling from the back room. An older man with a gaunt face and sunken eyes emerged, wiping his hands on a stained apron. "Can I help you?" he asked in a gravelly voice that sent a shiver down my spine. "I need a room for the night," I replied, trying to ignore the unsettling feeling growing in my gut. He handed me a key with a tarnished brass tag. "Room 12, down the hall." "Enjoy your stay," he said, though his tone suggested anything but hospitality. The hallway was narrow, with faded floral wallpaper and a threadbare carpet that muffled my footsteps. As I reached room 12, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. The door creaked loudly as I opened it, revealing a small, dimly lit room with a single bed, a nightstand, and a chair. The air was stale, and the faint smell of mildew hung in the air. I tossed my bag on the bed and sat down, feeling the springs creak beneath me. The silence was oppressive, broken only by the occasional distant thud or scrape. I decided to take a quick shower to shake off the road grime. The bathroom was tiny, with cracked tiles and a rust-stained sink. The water was lukewarm at best, but it was enough to refresh me slightly. As I dried off, I noticed something odd. There was a small door in the corner of the bathroom, partially obscured by the shower curtain. It wasn't marked, and curiosity got the better of me. I tried the handle, and to my surprise, it opened. The door led to a narrow passageway, dimly lit by a single, flickering bulb. My heart raced as I stepped into the passageway, the air growing colder with each step. The walls were lined with old photographs and faded newspaper clippings, but it was too dark to make out the details. I followed the passage until it opened into a larger room. My breath caught in my throat. The room was filled with dusty old furniture, mannequins dressed in outdated clothing, and a large mirror covered with a dirty sheet. The air was thick with the smell of decay. As I explored, I found a table with an assortment of odd objects, an old pocket watch, a tarnished locket, and a stack of yellowed letters. Each item felt heavy with a history I couldn't begin to comprehend. I heard a noise behind me and spun around, my heart pounding. The mannequins seemed to have shifted, their lifeless eyes now facing me. Panic surged through me, and I backed towards the passage, desperate to return to the safety of my room. But as I turned to leave, I saw the reflection in the mirror. A figure stood behind me, too real to be a mannequin. I fled back down the passageway, my footsteps echoing in the confined space. The door to the bathroom slammed shut behind me, and I locked it, my hands trembling. I pressed my ear to the door, listening for any signs of pursuit, but there was only silence. Gathering my courage, I opened the bathroom door and stumbled into my room, slamming the door behind me. I sat on the edge of the bed, trying to calm my racing heart. It must have been a trick of the light, I told myself, or my imagination running wild. But I couldn't shake the feeling that something was terribly wrong. I decided to leave, even if it meant sleeping in my car. As I grabbed my bag, the lights flickered, and I heard a soft tapping at the window. I froze, my breath catching in my throat. The tapping grew louder, more insistent. Slowly, I turned to face the window. The curtains were drawn, but I could see a faint silhouette behind them. Summoning all my courage, I approached the window and yanked the curtains open. Nothing. The parking lot was empty, and the night was still. I let out a shaky breath, my nerves frayed. I was just about to turn away when I noticed it. Written in the condensation on the window were the words, "Leave now." I didn't need to be told twice. I grabbed my bag and bolted from the room, not caring if I woke anyone up. The hallway seemed longer, the shadows deeper, but I kept moving. The lobby was empty, the old man nowhere to be seen. I threw the key on the counter and ran to my car. As I sped away from the motel, I glanced in the rearview mirror. For a split second, I saw the figure standing in the doorway of room 12, watching me leave. I didn't stop until I reached the next town, my heart still racing. I found a well-lit diner and parked, finally allowing myself to breathe. I never found out what haunted that motel, and I didn't want to. The experience left me shaken. As I sat in the diner, sipping coffee to calm my nerves, I resolved never to stop at another rundown motel again. Some warnings are meant to be heeded.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.